Blog Talk Radio.
Transformed 1.5 on Fast Forward Radio. I'm Phil Bauermaster, and I'm pleased to welcome you to this, the ninth installment of the World Transformed 1.5. I realize by way of music, it sounded a little bit like we were starting our Wednesday evening show there just for a moment, but just a little technical glitch. This is the World Transformed 1.5, our special series that bridges the gap between the original World Transformed from 2 years ago and the World Transformed 2, which is coming up a little bit later this year. In the World Transformed 1.5, we've been bridging the gap between the two series, and we've been talking about these astounding transformations that our world is facing, and we've been talking about what capabilities might very well fall within human hands in the very near future. And tonight we're going to take that question to the limit. We're going to talk about the realm of the possible, what lies inside and outside of the realm of the possible. On Wednesday's show, we discussed what I called the critical questions, those questions that must be answered if we're going to make the most of the tremendous opportunities the future represents. And I mentioned two closely related questions that drive a lot of our thinking about the future. The first is, how do we survive? Now, in many ways, this is the fundamental question, the most crucial question of all. If, as a species or civilization, we don't survive, then we have no future and there are no more questions to be raised, and none to be answered. The second question was, how do we make a good future? I believe I pointed out on Wednesday that the first question, how do we survive, is really just a subset of this second question. We can't have a good future without surviving to have a future. So we need to figure out how to survive before we do anything else. Additionally, as soon as we begin thinking in terms of problems that must be solved in order for us to have a good future, like the problem of survival, a number of other candidates begin to emerge. War, disease, poverty, damage to the environment, and so on. Many of our most radical ideas about how the world might be improved, about how the world might be transformed, are all about correcting or preventing or eliminating bad things. Obviously, there is nothing wrong with looking at changing the world from that perspective. Every major problem we solve is a partial answer to the question, how do we make a good future? But there's something missing if we approach that question only from the perspective of solving problems. As I said Wednesday evening, we may one day reach a point where we have solved all of these major problems. When we do, the question of how we make a good future will still loom before us, bigger than ever. We can even imagine our descendants, or if you like, our later selves, standing at this threshold and finally asking the question that's been building for all of human history. Now what? Or maybe not. After all, there is a case to be made that we'll never reach that point, that we will always have major problems to solve. Based on prior experience, it does seem likely that new problems will emerge to replace the old ones. As I pointed out earlier this week, the people living in a world where war and hunger and disease have been eliminated will very likely still see their lives as serious and difficult and fraught with problems. But all that really speaks to is a difference of perspective. From the world we know today, we can speculate about these residents of a world where all of our major problems have been solved. And we can imagine them asking an open-ended, now what, from their perspective. In fact, from their perspective, it will be more a matter of asking, how do we fix these particular problems? That difference of perspective notwithstanding, these future folk will be engaged in the very important work of opening up new possibilities, which is exactly what we do when we take on challenges such as war and hunger and disease. Let's say that generation, the one that comes along after all of what we think of as the big problems have been solved, that generation fixes all of its serious problems, problems that we can't really even imagine. And they're followed by a generation who solves a whole new set of problems, and then another generation which does the same, and then another, and then another. Ultimately, the question, how do we make the future better, brings us right up against the limits of the possible. So, what is possible? First off, we should note that the words possible and impossible are both subject to a good deal of colloquial and imprecise use. People will often say things like, I would love to come to your party, but it's just not possible. Now, although that might be a polite thing to say, it's highly unlikely that attending the party is not possible. It's much more likely that it's impractical or simply something the person speaking doesn't want to do. Let's be very clear about what we mean by possible. A possible outcome is one that is not precluded by the physical laws of the universe as we understand them. And the as we understand them part, that's very important. As we learn more about the universe, we get a better and better handle on what is truly possible. In 1895, Lord Kelvin famously made the proclamation that heavier-than-air flight is impossible. Now, the Wright brothers' magnificent first flight in Kitty Hawk was less than a decade away. Note that Kelvin didn't say that heavier-than-air flight would be very difficult or that it would be a long time before it was accomplished. He said it was impossible. It's hard to say exactly where Lord Kelvin went wrong in his analysis. The most generous explanation is that he simply had his facts wrong, that the laws of aerodynamics are different from what he took them to be, and that he declared heavier-than-air flight impossible based on the physical laws of the universe as he understood them. Another possibility is that he misused the word impossible, and what he really meant to convey was the tremendous unlikelihood of heavier-than-air flight from his perspective. Or maybe he wanted to convey the idea that he thought such a breakthrough highly unlikely in the near term. In any event, he was wrong. It was possible. It happened. And it happened soon after he made his statement. If we want to avoid making similar mistakes when assessing whether something is going to happen, it's probably a good idea to break the analysis down into three questions. First, is it possible? Again, meaning not in violation of the laws of the universe as we understand them. Next, is it reasonable to expect that humanity will ever achieve this result? Figuring that out becomes highly subjective, of course. What do humanity's accomplishments to date tell us about what might happen next? And what the heck is reasonable anyway? Finally, is it reasonable to expect that humanity will accomplish this in our lifetime? Even that one has a bit of wiggle room associated with it. How long do you expect your lifetime to go? As we often discuss on Fast Forward Radio, the answer to that question is not as obvious as you might think at first. So let's take a few, I was going to say possibilities, but I suppose these are really just potential possibilities until we run them through our analysis. So we'll take a few potential possibilities and see whether they might be part of our future. And let's have some fun with this. Let's do some challenging ones. Let's do some truly fantastic scenarios. For example, for once, let's forget the flying cars. Let's take it up a notch. Will human beings ever be able to fly under their own power? And I'm talking Peter Pan or Superman style to get to where they're going. I've always loved that thought, the thought of stepping outside my front door, and instead of getting in my car, I just take to the sky. Second Life currently lets me do that, but my first life does not. Having that ability in the real world, well, that's a fun fantasy. But will that fantasy ever come true? Okay, so the fundamental question, is such a capability possible? I would have to say yes, it is possible. We already have crude versions of this kind of capability with jetpacks. Nanotechnology will allow for far smaller and more elegant means of propulsion. Sooner or later, people will be able to fly. An interesting side question to ask would be whether by the time people have this capability, will they still be interested in it? But we won't go there, not this time. So, is it reasonable to believe that human beings will be able to fly? I think I've already answered that one in the affirmative for this scenario. And will this happen in our lifetimes? I can only say I expect it to happen in my lifetime, but then I expect my lifetime to go on for a very long while. Okay, so one day we'll be able to fly. Let's try a tougher one. How about time travel? let's assess the possibility that human beings will one day be able to travel through time as they do through space. First off, is it possible? Well, yes and no, or maybe I should say yes and maybe. Traveling into the future is, of course, entirely possible. It's something we're all doing all the time anyway. But what about traveling to the future the way they do in science fiction stories? That is to say, getting to the future before everybody else. Is that possible? Actually, yes, it is. Einstein's general theory of relativity tells us that as a traveler through space increases velocity, his or her subjective experience of time slows. This is barely noticeable when traveling at the kinds of speeds you and I normally encounter, but it becomes much more pronounced as a traveler approaches the speed of light. A traveler who leaves Earth in a spacecraft going near the speed of light and continues at that pace for a couple of years might return to find the Earth finding that tens or hundreds of thousands of years have passed, even though only a couple of years were experienced subjectively while on board the spaceship. That is traveling into the future, folks, and yes, it's entirely possible. Now, the question of whether we could ever go back in time is a hotly debated one, and there definitely are physicists and others who believe that a time machine will one day be built, one that will allow us to travel forward and backward in time. But for now, we'll go with what I take to be the scientific consensus, namely that traveling back through time lies outside the laws of the universe, at least insofar as we currently understand them, and is therefore impossible. So, in continuing this analysis of time travel, we'll consider only forward time travel when addressing the other two questions. First, is it reasonable to believe that human beings will travel ahead in time? Personally, I find traveling to the future far too compelling a capability for it never to be fulfilled. So, yes, people will travel through time. Will it happen in our lifetimes? I can only say on this one that this is something that I personally plan on doing one day. I wrote a piece on this a while back called My Retirement Cruise, which I hope to be a cruise through space and time. So, yeah, it better happen. Okay, let's take one more. How about the ability to travel between parallel universes? Imagine being able to see versions of our world or ourselves that followed radically different paths from the paths we followed. Completely different versions of the world we know. That would be amazing. Unfortunately, it's not possible, at least not within our current understanding of how things work. It was actually Michael Anisimov who pointed the impossibility of doing that out to me during one of our shows in the original World Transform series. Michael explained that one universe is fully separate from another by definition. That's what a universe is. It's a place where you can't get to another one of those. In order to do what I'm talking about, we would have to redefine what we mean by a universe. And that is a fairly tall order. Okay, so how have we done? Well, out of three fantastic scenarios, two are real possibilities, or at least one and a half. We might well live to see them happen. The other, not so much. Well, okay, two out of three ain't bad, and 1.5 out of three is not all that bad either. And as fantastic as these scenarios sound, they're nothing compared to what we'll be able to dream up in the very near future. Plus, there is a way we can transcend even the possible. If the age of the possible isn't exciting enough for you, how would you like to experience the age of the impossible? We'll explore that idea next time. Just a quick program note. I will not be repeating tonight's broadcast. I'm doing this live rather than having pre-recorded it. Just a little technical glitch before we got started this evening. Therefore, the show will terminate after 15 minutes, but the archive should be just about immediately available. So if you want to listen again, we'll be here and we'll be available for you. On Monday evening, please join us for our archive show. It'll be Stephen and myself with guest PJ Manny, a show from February 2008 talking about the 2008 Oscars. So if you don't know how those came out, this would be a great time to get caught up, but also some great discussion around speculist issues, transhumanist issues, as they are relayed in the movies. Wednesday evening, we'll be back on with our live show, and 1 week from tonight, as promised, I will take you on a journey into the world of the impossible. Well, I hope that you'll be able to join us for all of our upcoming programs. Until next time, live successfully.